American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day! This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Monday, August... No, for November the 16th. It is November 16th on Monday, isn't it, Sam? Isn't it?
Yes, that's good. Let me check. Yes, 16th.
You are listening to Newsreel, a wild global sit-rep on core political tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. You can follow up on all these news stories, and you can check my facts by going to my live journal. And how would you get to my live journal? You would get there by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free podcast that can be heard on Rant Radio Talk, Red Mercury SE, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, KJAG Radio, Osprey Networks, Creek Radio, iTunes, Podcast.com, Podcast Alley, and it's Second Life, Node Archers, Grid 1557466. And of course, we're simulcast on Radio 99, transmitting on a frequency of 6673.3 kilohertz. And if you ever want to get by in there, every Thursday night we broadcast in Second Life, and you can stand out there along with Sumerian, RPM, Dawn, Plump Dragon, oh, everyone's moving, Greg Difference, Warp Sky Tower, Registrar, Daemonkton, Smurf, I think there's a Choi, some kind of Choi, Yukasaki, I think it's Buck Choi, who knows? I don't know who you people are. I just can't read your name.
Are you all?
Well, who are you, and why are you in my head? Hero Smurf 4, I think I got Registrar, Morphs, Greg Difference, Napalm Howlett, Don Dorbin, yeah. Oh, and Ball Traveler Shan's there too. I see him. Of course, you know, it's Ball Traveler Shan. I built this place. Oh, and of course, my beautiful and talented co-host, Sumerian. Now, the problem is, of course, that this has been one of those days. This is one of those days that makes me believe in God. You know, it's like if you're driving through a city, you know, and realistically, at best, you should only get, you know, half of the red lights, maybe a third, running by statistics. Okay, even if you're statistically inaccurate, you maybe get 75% red lights. But if you hit every single red light in the city, except for one, but in the one the one that's like a green light, while you're sitting there, a woman commits suicide by jumping off the tower and lands in the middle of the intersection, and you're not able to go through the intersection, even though the light is green. And you would drive over her corpse in the intersection because you're in a hurry, but you won't because your wife's in the car with you. And she's like, you can't drive over her. Don't you drive over her. And then you're sitting there going, you know, why God? Why? You know, and then you wind up trying to rationalize that shit. And you're like, why didn't that bitch just stay up there and like shoot herself or hang herself? Why she got to wreck everybody else's day? You know, it's like these guys on the SkyTrain who go and they have to kill themselves on the SkyTrain. They screw up everybody else's evening when they could just as easily, you know, stay at home and take themselves out of the gene pool without, you know, wrecking everybody else's night. But no, they have to go out there and wreck that. And this is the tangent. These are the ruminations that occur inside your mind. And this is the kind of day that I've had where it's been red light after red life after red light. Well, all day today.
Maybe God was trying to prevent you from getting somewhere, and you would have got into an accident if you were getting all the green lights. That's how he works. He works in mysterious ways, Sean.
You know, you can't even... The problem with your snideness is that you can't hide it for like 10 seconds. You know, you really can't. You wouldn't even be able to make a good priest on a TV show because it'd be the most wooden acting ever. Like you could play like a cop hunting priest or something, but you'd be useless.
Oh, there you go.
You know, you'd be useless, absolutely useless as any kind of a voice actor when it came to.
Oh yeah, I'd be smiling underneath it all.
Yeah, and it comes out. You know, maybe if we could. Where's my volume on here? Because I think I'm still gonna play with your volume just a touch.
My volume?
Your volume. I think I'm going to mess with it.
Am I too loud? Too quiet?
You're just a touch loud. Can you bring yourself down just a touch? Just a hair?
Sure. There we go.
Perfect. Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. And don't.
Excellent.
Don't yell and scream so much.
Don't touch anything.
Don't touch it. Okay. Well, you know, that's part of the whole thing about live radio. You know, which...
It's magical.
Well, it's one take. You know, we're doing it. We're having fun here. There's people here. We're all connected. It's like the weirdest conference call in the history of the galaxy. You know, I don't even really understand how to even define the show anymore. It's kind of bizarre. People show up and listen to you and I go off about stuff. And, of course, they remember. They have lots of big memory, and that's what is with our feedback. Now, I was able to get you the show because, like, everything else is, like, falling by the wayside. I sent you the invites.
Oh, yeah.
You got it?
Okay, I got it.
You good? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So, here we go. Dear Sean, some feedback. Something from the Picky Police. Now, remember that story, the guy who sent me the thing in from Ireland? I ripped on Ireland. He goes, Ireland is two countries. Northern Ireland is part of the United Kingdom and uses the British pound. The Republic of Ireland uses euros. I know this because I bought food and drinks in both countries last year. Had to pay extra on the train system because I was passing from one country to another from Belfast to Dublin. So what you had said wasn't actually all that wrong. That's it, DC. Thank you very much, DC. So, but no, check it out. But then, you know, we say this, we're like, ha-ha, we are mighty and indignant, and this other person is a fool. But then the other person who we're saying is the fool actually wrote this letter where he goes, Dear Sean and Sim, I'm sorry about the rant last week on the Irish family. But just for a second, no, don't laugh like that. That's brutal, man. The guy's fucking apologizing. You brutal fucker. You brutal meanie. Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, so sorry about the rant last week.
I'll take
week.
The microphone away from my mouth while I laugh.
Sorry about the rant last week on the Irish famine. But just for a second, the question about going fishing sounded a bit like asking why the victims of the Holocaust didn't bring any gas masks. So you can understand why I was a bit pissed. You know, you're way too blonde and blue-eyed to be laughing at that joke. You just sit your vegan ass down and look sad. Anyhow, the band, this is the band that the PhD dude that I mentioned, same show, was called D-Ream, was okay. A big hit, was called Things Can Only Get Better. Now, Sim and I, of course, download all this guy's stuff. Now, he's kind of jumped around here. There's a dude, right, who's hanging out with, Gordon Freeman on the LHC project. The giant,
like
the black hole thing that's going to, like, destroy the planet when they turn it on. Yeah, so anyway, one of the guys who's the physicist there was a keyboardist for this 80s new wave band, and their biggest hit was a song called Things Can Only Get Better, which, of course, we've got that, right, Sim? We do have that song?
Yeah.
Because that's what's going on the end of the... He tried to send it to me here. I got boggled in the internet. But this is... So it was awesome. The guy who was ripping on me for the Irish thing, and he sent me this nice apology. But anyway, while it's a little bit corny, it was completely ruined when it was adopted by Tony Blair as his anthem when he first ran for prime minister. Ha-ha! It rises like a phoenix every few years when somebody needs a general feel of good background tune. Anyway, been listening for years, and I love the show. As for Sim, love the phrase, put that shit on the internet, used on a show a couple years ago, and I use it in every possible occasion.
I said that?
Yeah, that's a Siminism. Right there is what that is.
That's funny. That's
a Siminism.
Yeah. I don't remember that.
Yeah, you betcha.
I guess I don't get many of them, so...
Siminism.
Good.
It's a Siminism. Siminism. Yeah, I think it's good.
Instead of a Seanism.
Well, and then you've got Siminites. Right? You know, the people who follow Sim and other Sumerians, you know, who follow, you know. Well, first you start as a Simonite and then you become a Sumerian once you've, you know, purged yourself by doing the vegan diet, right? You make sure you don't have any...
Yeah, purge yourself
stuff.
Of all gods and all meats.
And all idolatry, right? You got to get rid of the whole, you know, the Adbusters subscription. You got to have that. That's the Bible, right? Got to have the Adbusters.
Replace
there.
Your gods with me.
Well, and my lack of gods. And you can be a nihilist and throw weasels at people in the bathtub. That'll be fun. We are nihilists. We believe in nothing. So, he goes on to say here, love the show, blah, blah, blah. Background tune. All the best, Rich O.C. Well, you know what? We love you very much. No hard feelings. And you made us laugh with your letter because you're awesome sauce.
Yes.
Which is, that's such a typically Irish thing to do, too, where it's like, fly into a fucking rage, and he, like, beats you up around the face, and then he's like, 10 minutes later, you know, oh, I'm really sorry.
Have
you know,
a drink, buddy.
I feel so bad, you know, I smacked the thing over your eye, but I got mad when you said that. You shouldn't have said that now. You know, and, you know, that's...
Come sit down here and have a beer with
that's
us.
That's why, you know, we need to get some Irish-Texan exchange program on the go. That's what we need to do. We need to get the Irish-Texans, because once they, if the Texans were to work with the Irish could do a lot more damage in the 10 minutes that they're angry. You know, really. I think that that would be the way to go. You know, it'd be a pretty... Yeah. They'd, there wouldn't be two countries in Ireland anymore if Texas was up there. Just saying, you know. just saying. In Pirate News! Now this is the setup. You want to talk about the next great slaughter that's coming? This is going to be great. This is going to be prime time. This is going to be the most prime time reality show. This will be the Cops of the next generation coming up right here. Wow. I prophesy. Okay. Somalia's prime minister said his government will eradicate piracy off its coast in the next 2 years. 2 years.
Wow.
Okay. On a visit to the UK, Omar Sharmak told the BBC that his war-torn country lacked enough resources to tackle the problem, but was willing to seek help abroad. Analysts say the date the government has had minimal influence on the fate of those kidnapped by pirates, who tend to be released unharmed for hefty ransoms. At least 7 vessels are being held with about 179 crew members. Now, these guys are fucking hostages.
Oh.
Okay, these guys are in fucking cages. Okay? Mr. Sharmark, who also told the BBC World Services that his government would do everything it could to find the missing British couple hijacked by pirates days ago. The pattern has been that if they don't harm the captives, these pirates, because they want money. But I want to assure the family that we will not rest until we see the freedom of this couple, he said about Paul and Rachel Chandler. Her, you know, some couple. I don't know anything about them. I guess they're some couple sailing along. Bang! Pirates show up. You're fucking, like, you know, bad guys. Okay? Mr. Sharkmark rejected the suggestion of his transitional government has limited reach across Somalia and is powerless to tackle piracy. He said it would eradicate piracy through civil affairs, an information campaign backed by military force. We're not powerless. Here's the money.
Okay, a serious leaflet campaign, right?
Yeah.
Do not be pirates, please.
Now, this is what he's doing. We're not powerless, but the capacity to handle this issue is not all there. And that's why we're seeking assistance and investors. There's the golden statement. Bang.
Ooh.
Assistance and investors. Investing in what exactly?
Yeah. Where's the money coming from?
What are you investing in? Slaughtering pirates? We have to understand the cost of doing nothing is far greater than the cost of doing something. Given the government only controls a few districts of the capital of Mogadishu, it's difficult to imagine how to deal with the pirates, who operate in areas outside government control, records the BBC's Mary Harper. What are they going to do? What are they going to do with these pirates? I don't know. Well, you know, there's science coming to the rescue again. You know, in more pirate news. I don't know how to feel about this. I guess, you know what? Fuck the pirates. You know what? Because...
I mean, seriously. Yeah.
Yeah, fuck the pirates.
Are they doing any good at all?
No, they're really not.
What is their lot in life other than to capture people and demand ransom and just be terrorizing the open seas? Like, really? Are they curing cancer?
No, they're really not. They're really not. So, so you know, we have this problem, you know, of these pirates that are, you know, taking up our shit. So we're going to sick server on them. Sleek and sinister looking, the latest weapon against piracy, could have flown directly out of a science fiction film. The U.S. military has deployed its Reaper unmanned drones to scour the Indian Ocean with their all-seeing infrared eye. Somali pirates are attacking farther and farther from home. Previously safe areas are now very much within range. The farthest attack from shore has taken place. An oil tanker managed to evade 2 skiffs some 1,000 nautical miles off Somalia, 400 nautical miles northeast of Seychelles. In total, close to 200 crew members are being held hostage for ransom, and hardly a day passes without news of another attack. The drone is controlled remotely and can fly up to 18 hours at a time. The camera is capable of zooming in on suspects, pirates, from heights up to 15,200 meters.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's pretty...
That's really far, actually.
Yeah.
That's 15 kilometers.
Yeah. It has multiple zooms, good for a mission for scanning very large areas, especially something like the ocean, where it's like a large flat plane with an object on it. These aircraft have the capability of carrying weapons. But there's currently no plans to place weapons on them. Why not?
At all, no.
Why not?
Exactly. We found them. Yay.
Oh, there they are.
I mean, you're out there scouting for them anyway, and then what are you going to do? Turn back? Are you going to send a ship out there in that length of time?
Well, this is it.
No, why?
This is it. Now, this is the setup, right? We know the pirates are problems. So despite the current lack of firepower, deploying the same sophisticated military hardware on targets of Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan and militants in Somalia shows just how serious the problem of piracy is being taken. The deployment of the MQ-9 Reaper is an initiative of the U.S. Africa Command, AFRICOM, which I think is a great title, AFRICOM, which is based in Stuttgart, Germany, which is kind of weird that the AFRICOM is based in Germany. Anyway, African countries were reluctant to host the American military base, partly due to fears that the continent would be further militarized. The deployment of these remote-controlled drones would take in a sum of evidence that AFRICOM does not necessarily need a huge base in Africa to get its work done. Pirates may not be aware they're being watched by the drones flying high and are difficult to spot, and we are told essentially they have no radar signature. It is hoped that data collected by the U.S. drones will make it easier for the International Anti-Piracy Task Force to capture the pirates red-handed. Now, how do you get on the International Anti-Piracy Task Force? How do you join that club? Does anybody know how to join those guys? Can you get me a resume for them? Because I want to sign up to be part of the International Anti-Piracy Task Force to capture the pirates red-handed. One of the major problems we face is you need sufficient evidence to bring these people to trial and justice. Well, the thing is, if you've got video footage from the drone of these guys shooting their hot little weapons, okay, at another vehicle, that qualifies as evidence in my books. You have video documentation of the crime. You just kind of, you know, teleconference in your judge. He passes sentence right there, and the drone, you know, kills them. And that's how it works.
Yeah.
Pretty much, you know. And
video link up the judge, and he just goes, yeah, that looks about right. And you get on radio with the ship that's being attacked, too, because obviously they're attacking a ship at that time. The ship captain goes, yeah, that's not our men. They're attacking us.
Yeah.
Fire at will.
Yeah.
Please, now.
Pretty much. Pretty much. So the article goes on talking about how this whole area is being turned into this massive, pretty much piracy free fire zone. It's pretty much open season on pirates. In pink, I've highlighted self-defense is being encouraged. Okay, like if you're gonna have a gun show, I want to go to the Seychelles government and have my gun show down there, because holy shit, is it open season on pirates down there. You're gonna see in the next little while, this is the perfect test range for UAVs. You've got small, like this is the UAV hunter killer range, and they are gonna be flying these things around, having, you know, robots blowing these people up. Now, I hate the pirates, you know, I do, but for some reason, I don't know, I'm not super awesomely comfortable with this. you know, there's something about it that kind of makes me go, you know, like you really want to like it, but,
We know that you can't stop technology.
Yes,
it's
I know.
It's impossible.
It is.
Technology will march on no matter how much we hate, or it's too big brother, or it's too invasive, or it's too scary. It's going to keep on coming, and we have to keep on top of it, and we have to know either how to, you know, defeat it or be aware of it. And, you know, so what do you do? What do you do?
I guess it's kind of clinical. You know, it is pretty clinical. I mean, the pirate doesn't stand much of a chance. But to be fair, I mean, it's not like the people they go after. If they could do this, you know, it's not like these guys are saints or anything. You know, they're not good people. You know, there's the whole movement trying to make them look like they're like Coast Guard or some shit like that. And I'm like, no, you're not Coast Guards. Even if you're the Coast Guard, you're still taking people hostage. So I don't give a shit. You know, and you know, if it was
they could try and spin it, but they're not being very convincing.
No, they're not. They're not. So, you know, if and what if it was one of mine? You know, what if it was my wife or someone I knew was all caught up in their clutches? You know, I don't think I'd be so.
You'd be like, shoot those fuckers down.
I'm like, do we have the really scary drones? Yeah, we want the scary drone. Now this is interesting though. Oh, on the pirate thing though, this is going to be the new great frontier. There's going to be so much, reality television.
So many
television,
stories about this coming out.
So much reality television. This is going to become gladiators of the future. They're really going to use this to get the military going. Yeah, this is where it's going to be. And I hate to say it, I'm going to probably have, you know, the DVD collector's edition of it. I think it's going to make for some good watching.
Every time a pirate gets blown out of the water.
Yeah, you know, seriously, fuck those guys. Really. I can't. Screw you, hippie. I'm not into it.
Give them a minute to turn around and you know, turn their boat around and go back home. And if they don't heed the warning, boom.
Well, apparently a couple of them charged, like, a carrier. You know, like, this gunboat came out and started fucking around with a carrier and, we're shooting at a carrier.
Wow.
You know, and the carrier just, like, turned on its phalanx and dissolved the boat, you know, like, warp. That was it. It was pretty much done.
Yeah.
And, you're like, holy crap, like, what is wrong? Like, where's your target? How stoned are you? Really? What are you guys smoking on the beach out there that you'd go out and do that? Like, you know, hey, Buddha punishes, man. Like, get used to it. That's not cool. But anyways, okay. I just think that it's going to be some interesting media is going to be generated over this this piracy stuff. And and you know, really, this is where the new gig is going to be. I would like to know more about the anti-piracy task force. Like, how do you hire?
I just looked
that,
it up.
You know?
There's no official website, so somebody will have to do some digging on that to find out.
Oh, the WOGs. Oh, there's people who know about this. I mean, are you kidding me? There's there's some serious gun bunnies who listen to this show. I mean, there are some hardcore gun bunnies who, like, there's somebody on the...
Somebody's on a newsletter somewhere, right?
Oh, no, somebody listening to this show knows somebody who's part of that anti-piracy task force. Oh, guaranteed.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. Maybe one degree of separation away, if that. Hell, I think that everyone on the anti-piracy is probably a big fan of the show, and if they're not, they should be. They
That's
really should
right.
be. Because
Pass it around. Give
all,
a copy to them.
We're all about, you know, getting to space, which brings us to some Beanstalk news. Beanstalks, in case you don't know, don't get excited. A Beanstalk is a space elevator, essentially. It takes the work out of the whole, engines to get to space thing. So what the problem is that, like, some of the nanotubes and nanotechnology they've been coming up with, Buckminster Fullerene and Buckyballs and all this kind of stuff, they believe...
Like really small, really hardcore kind of connections.
They believe now, even though it's, like, psycho-cost prohibitive, that they could, in theory, build a space elevator, a cable that went to space and would be able to keep itself in space from the planet and travel at those speeds. Okay, yeah, in theory.
Wow.
Okay. Now, the problem is that they need something that can climb it with its own energy. Okay? That's...
Okay.
So they had this competition. This is kind of a neat competition. A Seattle team has collected a $900,000 prize. Holy shit. $900,000 U.S. prize in a NASA-backed competition to develop the concept of an elevator to space, an idea spurred by science fiction novels. The team's robotic machine raced up more than 2,950 feet of cable dangling from a helicopter. Powered by a ground-based laser pointed at the robot's photovoltaic cells that converted the light into electricity, the laser-motive machine completed one of its climbs in about 3 minutes and 48 seconds. Good for second place money. Wow.
Whew.
That's second place money, but like...
That's good money for second place.
3 minutes, 48 seconds to go. That's fast. It's moving. The contest is intended to encourage development of a theory that originated in the 60s and was popularized by Arthur C. Clarke's 1979 novel, The Fountains of Paradise. Space elevators are envisioned as a way to reach space without the risk and expense of rockets. Instead, electrically powered vehicles would run up and down cables anchored to the ground, structured and extending for thousands of miles up into a mass in geosynchronous orbit, the kind of orbit communication satellites are placed in order to stay over a fixed spot in Earth. Laser Motive, LLC, was presented the check by Andy Petro, program manager of NASA's Centennial Challenge, in a ceremony at the Dryden Flight Research Facility at Edwards Air Force Base in the Mojave Desert. The three-day contest requires competitors' vehicles to get to the top, with rewards possible for completing climbs at two levels of speed. Laser Motive could have claimed the $2 million if its robot had climbed faster. Wow. The two teams, KC Space Pirates of Kansas City, Missouri, and the University of Saskatchewan's Space Design Team. There you go. Yeah. People in Saskatchewan know about space because their province looks like the fucking moon. But anyway, they finished out of the money. Neither of their machines. Yeah, but okay, well, you want to go do some cold weather testing, you just show up out there and they'll kick your monkey ass. You guys think you can design some robots? Let's lace up some skates. Anyway, neither of the machines made it to the top of the fourth space elevator games addressed by the baby step in the engineering challenge of the concept, not the large debates whether physics, materials, technology, and economics, whatever allow one to be built. So, blah, 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 blah. So, very cool, though. Cool concept. You know, it's an idea.
Yeah, it totally makes a lot of sense. Why use fuel when you can just attach yourself to a rope that's already there?
Well, it seems to be a pretty good theory. You know, I don't know about... I'm thinking that, you know, either, like, the physics involved with something like that would be kind of significant. You know, I think it would not just be, like, as simple as, well, okay, we'll just tie one rope here and put the other one out there and see what happens, you know? Maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe that's as simple as it gets. We just yo-yo that shit out there and spin around smashing into other satellites and robots. Wham! Smack, we're like, woo! Party rocket balls! Yeah! We're like,
now put some flashing lights on it so planes don't run into it. Well, everything's okay.
Get some Christmas lights on that sucker.
Yeah,
you know what could possibly go wrong?
Easy as pie.
Yeah, it makes the whole planet into a gloopian flail. Now we do 3d6 plus strength bonus. Like, come on, man. Seriously, now. I don't want to have that. Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think that's...
No?
I think there's probably a lot to it. And apparently the materials are pretty expensive. These buckyballs and Buckminster fullerene and all that stuff.
Strong and light and resistant and yeah, it's crazy. It has to be super, super long.
Well,
and weigh nothing because it's sitting in the middle of space on top of itself in a straight line, right?
We need a reason. Of course, I'm kind of the theory that we might be going about this whole space exploration thing wrong. You know, I think I'll interject here. So I think...
How so?
Well, okay, now I'm going into the crazy theories. Did you watch that movie yet? Did you watch the... That I know what I saw, that UFO documentary? You haven't watched it yet, have you? Yeah. Chicken.
No. It's on the list. It's on the list.
You're scared of it. You're afraid to be confronted by the truth.
That's right. I'm afraid of the truth.
You're afraid of the truth, like all atheists.
My mind will be exposed to 1 second of it, and I'll go mad.
Skepticism breeds madness. You know, hey, I'm just telling you. You know, don't read the books. Especially don't try to understand the books. You'll lose more sanity. You totally lost my train of thought now. What the hell were we talking about? We were just going
to talking about getting into space. We're doing it the wrong way.
Yeah, we are. We're doing it the wrong way. Now, the thing that they say about all these UFO reports, right? And the mutilated cow thing and all that.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. You think I'm crazy with the mutilated dead cow thing, but there's...
somebody in the RC said that, oh, God, he's going off on the mutilated cow thing again.
Well, of course. I'm going on.
You love the mutilated cows.
Dude, I'm here to tell you, am I the only guy that thinks it's a bit fucking weird that these cows are getting fucked up like this and nobody gives a shit? You know, it's like fine. It's like the total child is on fire syndrome, like right there.
They turn themselves inside out all the time.
You know, and people think that shit's funny. I'm like, okay, well, y'all can get on the V mothership for all I care, but me and my M14 and my family are going to go join the underground, and y'all can, you know, get eaten and have a good time with that shit. So, you know, hey, natural selection. You know,
that's right. I'll be on the top of the buildings welcoming the aliens. We're peaceful.
Yeah, and me and my crowd are going to have like the headphones on playing the thrash metal, staring through amber lenses into some really high-grade optics. That's exactly what's going on there. Now, my point is...
Loading your weapons, right?
No, probably just hiding. Probably a lot of hiding. Okay. Yeah, well, a lot of hiding and then a lot of capture and research. Yeah, but which is kind of my point. Now, these UFO crafts... All the reports that are credible, and you know, the ones that are credible, because there's about 5% that are credible, they all have certain things in common, and all the ships are super quiet, and they move super fast, and they kind of defy the laws of physics. So it kind of ties into a lot of these string theories. That there's a lot of string theory that backs a lot of my occult theory, and I think that there's something, it has something to do with frequencies. Like, there's a way we can kind of, like, fold time and space. Sort of like the whole Eldritch experiment. The Nazis were messing around with that near the end of the Second World War. Yep. They were working around with temporal distortion and moving through time and space. So I think it's more like a traveling without moving kind of thing. Maybe some sort of a... it might even be holographic or an avatar represented in real space or something like that.
Right.
I think
you're there, but not there. You're somewhere else,
you know,
and there at the
right
same
now,
time.
Right? Where are we right now? You know, we're in Second Life, and there's avatars, and everybody's talking to each other, but then it's being downloaded, right? So it's kind of hard to explain the process. And what is this? Is this broadcast live, and do you have emotion from it because you're listening to the words as I enunciate them, or is it because it's a digital medium that's when it's sitting on the server? Like, where is that interaction? Is it funny? Why is it funny the first time you hear it, no matter how far in the future you hear it? And things like that. There's a lot of really weird stuff, and you start getting into the crazy, you know, Nicola Kaku.
Where they can spin one electron in one part
before,
of the universe, and
before
spins,
you know it, the chick
spins
from
the other one somewhere
shows
else.
Up, and it's like, you know, it's what the bleep do we know, and down
and
the
then everything
hole,
goes
and,
downhill.
And Einstein sitting there with one eyebrow raised, calling it spooky physics, and he's not really a big fan of it, you know. So that was one of my favorite.
It's spooky.
He said it was spooky. I believe it was spooky physics is what he called it, and he didn't like it, which I think would be a great intro to all.
I don't like it.
Oh, no. Somebody find the quote. But yeah, he called it spooky.
I remember that, yeah.
And that's an awesome quote to put at the beginning of a horror movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So,
action at a distance.
Now, see, before the show started, we were making fun of, you know, the Mud Hut religious crowds again. And
it's too easy.
Well, it kind of makes fun of itself. But, you know, sometimes they can really get the fervor on the go. You know, that's one thing they got on the go, is they can really get people whipped up into one of those...
Oh, they whip, yeah.
But you know, when people got, like, the religious drive on the go, I mean, they can do some intense shit, you know, when they got that whole religious drive on the go.
Oh, they start speaking in tongues, and they start flopping around on the ground.
Not only that, but
they're
driven. They're
seeing things and being
touched
by...
You know, they'll kill their kids, they'll let their kids blow themselves up. I mean, they're really intense, right? So how about...
Oh, yeah.
So how about we get, like, check out what the Catholics are doing. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
The Pontifical Academy of Sciences. Now, how's this for? We are from the Pontifical Academy of Sciences. Is holding a conference on astrobiology and the study of life beyond Earth. With scientists and religious leaders gathering in Rome this week. For centuries, theologians have argued what existence of life elsewhere in the universe could mean for the Church. At least since, I'm going to screw this guy's name up, Giordano Bruno, an Italian monk who was put to death by the Inquisition in 1600 for claiming that other worlds existed. No, infidel.
You're going to lose me for a second. I'll be right back.
Okay. Well, the thing is, too, that's really great about the Catholics is that they're not sad about that shit. They're just like, and they said it was not there, and so we burned them. Inquisition. You know, they're really, they they're snappy dressers with that stuff. You know, you get a little bit more Warhammer 40K with this. Now, hear me out. Among the other things, extremely alien-looking aliens would be hard to fit with the idea that God made man in his own image, right? Furthermore, Jesus Christ's role as a savior would be confused. Would rather, and would other worlds have their own tentacled Christ figure, or would Earth Christs be universal? Now, this is if you buy into the whole dead zombie Jesus thing. And you know, these are the kind of theological questions that I would have posed. Because I'm just assuming that, you know, your shit's real. It's too easy to fuck with that. Let's fuck with you on, like, the really hard stuff. However, the church has eventually made accommodations only after Copernicus and Galileo showed that Earth was not the center of the universe, but it belatedly accepted the truth of Darwin's theory of evolution. Catholic leaders say that alien life can be aligned with the Bible's teachings. They can be aligned! Father Jose Fuchs, a Jesuit astronomer of the Vatican Observatory and one of the organizers of the conference, said, "As a multiplicity of creatures exist on Earth, so there could be other beings, also intelligent, created by God. This does not conflict with our faith, because we cannot put limits on the creative freedom of God." No one agrees. Not everyone agrees. Paul Davies, a theoretical physicist and author of The Goldilocks Enigma, told the Washington Post that the threat to Christianity is being downplayed by church leaders. He said, "I think the discovery of the second Genesis would be an enormous spiritual significance. The real threat would come from the discovery of extraterrestrial intelligences, because there are beings elsewhere in the universe than Christians. They're in this horrible bind." Now, the thing is that I'm really hoping that the Vatican and these guys get out there and start, you know, proselytizing. Because, you know, they could have some really cool ships. You know, we could have, like, you know, the whole Pope, Roman Emperor. You got, like, the big, you know, Crusader cross on the shield. You get Warhammer 40K about it. You know, they're landing on other planets. And they're really dramatic about that stuff. You know, they get some good choral pieces. Ooh! And the spaceman with the cross walking up the hill, you know. And then you've got, like, you know, the nice indigenous aliens who, you know, are just trying to do their thing. And it starts a big war. And then you got the Inquisition. And you got some awesome costuming going on. That'd be great. I think that the idea of crusading Warhammer 40K style astronauts is all right. Riding, you know, laser powered space elevators. There's a lot of negative shit in the news, okay? There's a lot of negative stuff in the news. Sometimes you just have to hold on to the little things. You really do. Now, here's one that's not so positive. This one is going to be coming out as a movie in about 5 years, called Meltdown: What Happens When Terrorism and Paranoia Strike Inside of a Power Plant. And it's going to be done by M. Shamalama Ring a Ding Dong guy, M. Night Shamalama Ring a Ram a Ding Dong. What the hell's his name? The guy who did
M. Night Shyamalan.
M. Night Shyamalama, Ramalama, Dalai Lama guy. That guy. He's going to do it. Because now, this is a movie plot, if ever I've heard. Nuclear workers are asked to spy on colleagues' lives. Thousands of staff at a UK nuclear power station have been told to spy on the private lives of workmates and inform on colleagues who might be vulnerable to blackmail or bribery by a terrorist intent on gaining access to British nuclear secrets and stocks of weapon-grade plutonium. As part of the security measures, nuclear power station staff are being asked to keep watch on their colleagues' love lives. They're being told to keep tabs on colleagues they think may be using illegal drugs, or even those traveling abroad. The moves, especially if they're traveling abroad for their love lives while taking illegal drugs. The moves by the government nuclear security agency. Well, you never know these crazy nuclear scientists.
Out of control.
Yeah, they're losing it.
Playing keyboards and new wave bands. Yeah, they're out of control. You know,
things can only get better. Okay. we got to do something like that. That's just so great. We got to make a music video out of that where, you know, it actually opens the black hole and it's an apocalypse and we'll just, you know, gate in, you know, fallout, and it'll be like, things can only get
space
better.
Hopes.
You know, hey, well, I know a lot of people would be really happy about the apocalypse. It'd be a lot of fun. Until the ammo ran out. You know, first 48 hours, like, if we could have a temporary zombie apocalypse, like just a trial run of it, a couple of outbreaks. And
just
then
just a small one. Yeah,
you know, and then different towns wait for their turn. And then another outbreak of that town would be like, hooray! Yay! Maybe we could predict it, have, like, weather, and you'd have, like, storm chasers, but they'd be, like, apocalypse chasers. They drive into your town, kill all the zombies for you. Guys that start, you know, stuffing them. You could buy them. Anyway, getting back to these guys traveling abroad. The moves by the government nuclear security agency to set up vetting of civilian nuclear workers has been condemned by trade unionists, critics as Orwellian, as a word. But the agency insists the measures are justified by the threat of terrorism. Now, what's going to happen? This is where the M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong movie is going to come in, because he's going to do a movie where everyone's so terrified about each other that they wind up ratting each other out, and somehow it'll cause a nuclear reaction, you know, to happen. There'll be a meltdown, and it'll kill everyone because of all their paranoia, which is easily explained. It'll be like a really tragic episode of Three's Company, where, you know, something was misheard. And
I thought you were the terrorist. I thought you were.
Yeah, oh, no.
And nobody's watching the little dials on the nuclear power plant, and it's all going into overload because they're all spying on each other.
Yeah, pretty much. That's a little Simpsons. It's a little bit Simpsons, but yeah. I think it's possible. I don't know what the solution is here. Like, you know, the Fort Hood shooter guy, right? I mean, wow, did I ever want that guy's last name to be, like, Jones? You know, I really did, but it's not.
His name was,
like, Mohammed Mabib, whatever the hell his name was.
You know? And they were already watching him, and he was already on file.
No, man, like, Alex Jones is always like, oh, he's a patsy, he wasn't dead, there were three shooters, you know, and I mean, I was sort of watching the whole thing unfold. No, originally they said there was three guys, and then it became one guy.
Well, there's confusion anytime that happens.
You know, it's kind of bizarre, though. How is it possible that you've got this? The whole thing seems kind of nuts. You know, like a major. He's a major, for Christ's sake, and a shrink, and he just goes buck wild with a couple of 5.7s and starts, geeking people. Like, did he own 2.57s?
That's not unheard of. Like, if you think of spies going into other, infiltrating other organizations, they move up the ranks. There's sometimes years in those other places.
Seems like a waste of a perfectly good agent. If you've got a guy in place, I think what's most likely happened there is the dude got disillusioned with the war. He was in the army. He wound up getting kind of lost. Somebody got to him. They weaponized his ass. And he sort of felt that it would be better to go out by, you know, protecting his brothers, or however the hell he framed that up in his head. And so he goes, and well, I guess we're going to find out.
Religion's a very powerful mind fuck. Like,
he was
Muslim. And,
Yeah.
And they somehow convinced him that, you know, he was not doing the right thing and to correct the problem.
That is a problem, yeah. And it's pretty hard to weaponize any religion. But if you've got the latest patch, like the latest version of it, like 1,000 years ago, they were all pretty easy to weaponize. Like Christianity, we had some good weaponized Christianity running around. There was some, you know, the Crusades, and here we are together, the light of God. You know, the Sabaton. Here we are, the
people are easily impressed.
You know, it's good stuff. But it kind of fell out of fashion, right? Like, there hasn't been any really good weaponized Christianity in, a few hundred years anyway. You know what I mean? Like, they haven't really had to pull that shit out. But a lot of the weaponized Islam has really, you know, that stuff stayed current. They've kept up with it, you know. And so some of their some of their weaponized Islam now is pretty catchy. You know, it's pretty catchy stuff. Yeah. The Nazis, of course, they weaponized their beliefs, right, which were these weird pagan beliefs, which generally, you know, you think about pagans. As, you know, these guys with the trees, dance around naked, little goat things, some sticks, you know, what's the problem? But, you know, then the Nazis show up. And
they got that going pretty quick, about 10 years, right?
It took
a decade to get
going. They took a country that was totally decimated, and they brought it to, like, the top of the food chain. It almost took the planet. Like, you know, they were doing something right. You know, I don't know what it was. They were doing a lot of shit wrong. But how did they do that? I mean, that's a pretty good, even if it's a dirty, underhanded, sneaky, shitty move. Like, how did they do that? Like, that was nuts. I guess there's whole books written on that. Don't go, you know, mailing them all to me now. But that's a really fascinating part of history that I would encourage anyone to investigate. And I've never been able to get my ass over to Auschwitz, but I hope to see it sometime before I die. I'd like to get over to Auschwitz and have a little poke around over there. Just because I think everybody should see it, you know, if there was going to be one pilgrimage that I think everybody should go on, I would go to Auschwitz and check
the depths and darkness of humanity and how far it can go.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and, which is why, you know, just to cement in place the idea of my little stopgap.
Or you could go to Africa and see it right now.
No, it's a little different with the Auschwitz stuff because it's so precise. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's calculated and cold.
Everything
and
it's on purpose. It's
not outright like in Africa. They just call them witches and throw them in a ditch and burn them. That's on the spot, right?
The shit in Auschwitz is inspired. It really is. Their processing capabilities there is it's impressive. Like somebody really thought about it. You know.
At meetings about it, and
and this gets back to our whole thing about thought crimes. I really wind myself up the wall, you know, with the thought crime thing, because it's a big one. It's a big thing to have, you know.
It is.
So technically speaking, Sean, if there's no such things as thought crimes, which I claim, that means that the big one is like, okay, so pedophiles then, who as long as they don't touch a kid, they're not criminals, even though they're pedophiles, and because they haven't actually committed.
They're messed up in the head. They like to think about crazy things. Right. They're all fucked up. But are they criminals? No. If they're just thinking about it, it's all good.
Yeah, and they're writing. What if they're writing stories about it, and that you know, and there's no one's being hurt. You know, you're just fucking. You're
that's
fucked
right.
up. Okay, so that's where I'm at.
Sharing these messed up stories.
Okay, okay. So, what about if I'm an architect? Circa 1938, and I'm tasked with designing slaughterhouses to kill Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all I do is sit around and think up death camp stuff, and I come up with some really awesome, like novel, sick and fucked up ways to kill people. Draw all this stuff up, okay, and give it to the Nazis, and the Nazis go on and commit the Holocaust. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can extrapolate that, right? You can say, well, I'm the guy who just put the guy in the gas chamber. I didn't press the button. Well, I'm not the guy who pressed... I'm the guy who designed the button. I didn't press the button.
Well, this is...
Well, I'm the guy who threw the switch that put the... Yeah, it goes on and on and on. And nobody killed them then, right?
And this is my point, though. But I'm wondering, is that guy guilty? That specific guy, the designer guy who all he ever did was use draft paper, and he never actually killed anybody himself.
But he knew about what he was doing and what exactly they were for, and he designed them perfectly to be, you know, efficient and, yeah.
Yeah, which is different, too. That'd be like a pedophile designing plans for, like, making manuals about how to abduct children. Is that guy committing a crime? These are interesting questions.
It's the same idea as a bomb-making guide, right? The person who made an instruction manual how to design the bomb to blow up this building. Here's the schematics of the building. Here's the schematics of the bomb. You can go in at this time and do it. I mean, it's a little bit more clear cut in that case, right?
Yeah.
It's a touch and go. Gray area.
Yeah, you know, so sometimes I come across things like, you know, weaponized Islam, and I see these imams, and they're spouting their shit. And they're taking these young kids in, and we're looking for something to believe in, some sense of hope or something, because their lives are shit.
Yeah.
And they feed them this poison, you know, and they twist these kids up, and they twist up their brains and stuff so that they're all messed up and programmed, and then they shove them out the door with a bomb strapped to their chest. Now, is the imam guilty of a crime? All he's done is talk to people. You know, he is as guilty of a crime as, like, Anthony Powers is? Because he's manipulating people, too. It's just that one guy's manipulating them for good, one guy's manipulating them for evil. And I personally think, I think these imams are committing crimes, but that doesn't really jive with the whole no thought. It's a conundrum. It's a conundrum.
It's tough. Well, you look at Charles Manson. He's in jail. He didn't kill anyone. He told people to go kill people.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose it's
right.
It's
he never took a knife and stabbed somebody. He sat at home and told people to go out and kill this person at this time at this location. And he's been in jail ever since.
Well, there's some other stuff going on there as well, but I do see what you're.
It's a different person, same kind of thing. These imams are whipping people up into a frenzy, telling them you're going to get into heaven, you're going to get the 72 virgins or 72 dried grapes, whatever interpretation you get, and put a bomb on them and tell them it's for the greater good, and totally brainwashing them. And it's tough because it is a thought crime, right? I mean, we have thought crimes in our courts every day. You kill a person. Well, why did you kill that person? Well, that's all in your head. It's were you doing it for self-defense, or were you doing it because you hate them? Well, those are two sides of the same coin. You're still alive. That guy's dead. It's all about why you killed that guy.
Yeah, that's fucked up. I don't know if I agree with that. I don't know if I agree with that. Like, sometimes, you know, draconian laws...
Well, the cops show up to it as... A cop show up to a scene of a crime. You're there. A guy's dead on the ground.
Right.
The dead guy has a gun in his hand.
Right.
And you're there saying, "Well, he was coming after me."
Right.
And the cops go, "Well, maybe you just killed him, and because you didn't like the look of him." Well, that's it's all up to what is said and what is thought about.
Yeah.
And what is going through your mind and his mind and his actions. Well, the same results at the end. That guy's dead, you're alive, and it's about what happened and why it happened.
Yeah, I suppose. Well, you
it's,
know...
It is frustrating that there isn't a black and white answer for everything. And it is frustrating that there's shades of gray and you have to interpret things and stuff. But unfortunately, I guess there is.
So so we're outside, we're arguing, we've got the architect on his knees. You've got a Browning, yep. I've got a Browning. Are you going to shoot this guy or not? Bang, I shoot him, and then we walk away. That's what happens. You keep thinking about it, I shot him, we'll carry on. Into some
You'll make no more slaughterhouses.
Well, I don't give a fuck. Hammer, you're done. I mean, that's... Fuck you, clown. You're sitting there designing slaughterhouses, you piece of shit. Fuck you. And if I get judged for that, then so be it. You can bring me in. You know.
I was just following orders. Yeah, then there's those people who's like, well, his choice was to design slaughterhouses or go in one.
Yeah, pretty much. Sorry, you check out. You know, please get your whole head in front of the shotgun. Now, here he is on the upswing. Now, there's been a couple of different stories about this. And of course, the whole goddamn internet sent it to me. Wham! Okay. HUD, heads-up display contact lenses. This is your cyberpunk kit for the day. Yes. A contact lens that harvests radio waves to power LED is paving the way for a new kind of display. The lens is a prototype of a device that could display information beamed from a portable device. Realizing the display size is increasingly a constraint in mobile devices, which we've already said, wearable, the major problem is the screen. Babbitts Pavitz of University of Washington... in Seattle, hit on the idea of projecting images onto the eye from a contact lens. One of the limitations of current heads-up display is the limited field of view. The contact lens display have a much wider field of view. Our hope is to create images that effectively float in front of the user, perhaps 50 centimeters to 1 meter away. His research involves embedding nanoscale and microscale electronic devices into substrates like a plastic and paper. He also wears contact lenses. It was a matter of putting the two together. Fitting a contact lens with circuitry is challenging. The polymer cannot withstand the temperatures or chemicals used in large-scale microfabrication yet, Parvitz explains. So, some components, the power harvesting circuitry and the microlight emitting diode, had to be made separately, encased in a biocompatible material, and then placed into crevices carved into the lenses. Pretty complicated shit. One obvious pattern is powering such a device. Where's it getting its juice? The circuitry requires 330 microwatts, but doesn't need a battery. Instead, a loop antenna picks up power beamed from a nearby radio source.
Wow.
The team has tested the lens by fitting it to a rabbit. Now, this was the same lens that we were talking about. I've got a picture of it, okay? Pavitz said the future versions will be able to harvest power from the user's cell phone, perhaps as it beams information directly to the lens. Very, very interesting stuff. Very, very interesting stuff. So that technology is moving along rather nicely.
Why do those rabbits get it first? Why don't we get it first, those damn rabbits?
Well,
what are they
going to
do, Twitter about carrots?
I'm pretty sure that the rabbits would be all too keen to give you the goddamn lens anytime. You want this? It's yours, monkey man. No problem.
I've had enough of it.
Yeah, you can have that. I just want to eat some fucking carrots. I hate you. I hate you all. One day, my kind will evolve rapidly than you, and we will kill you and smite you mortally, as our rabbit god tells us. Now, today's daily hack is quite the thing. It's called the Sonar Power Manager. This is pretty neat. I'm not even sure if this is... It looks legit. What it is that the speakers of a laptop can use echolocation to turn themselves on or off if you get close to it. It shows you how to use your computer and its microphone to set up a basic sonar. So as you approach the computer, it reactivates itself. It's pretty neat.
Yep.
The Sonar Power Manager uses a user presence detection technique to shut off the computer display when you are not present. It was developed by myself and other researchers at the Northwestern and UMichigan. The goal is to shut off the screen immediately after you leave, even if you just moved the mouse 10 seconds ago. It has used a very simple sonar system to accomplish this. The Sonar Manager uses ultrasonics, sounds above 20 kHz frequency, for which humans cannot hear, on your computer's regular sound system. Surprisingly, we found that many laptops can use ultrasonics. However, many laptops cannot. For these unlucky users, the Sonar Power Management will not properly detect user presence, and other unlucky users will find that their speakers produce an annoying lower frequency harmonies or noise while the sonar is operating, which still could be kind of neat anyway. So I thought that was pretty cool, actually. I'm like, hey, that's kind of neat.
Cool.
Yeah, you know.
Well, the page has an installer. You can download this right off the page.
It's I know. Free, that's why it's the daily hack.
Try it out.
It's free. It's kit.
Yeah.
That's kind of, you know, it's kind of neat. So what the hell, you know. I like it. I like it. Plus, you could always lots of automation stuff.
Makes,
with that. Webcams, you know. You
yeah, it makes much more sense than just like a 2-minute screensaver. It goes to a screensaver when you leave the computer.
Yeah, or the annoyance of when you're sitting there watching a movie and the screensaver comes on because you got it set to 35 minutes or something like that, and then it just pops up.
I hate that shit. Fuck.
And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. If you cannot donate to the show, please distribute. But if you can donate, please do so by clicking on the Donate tab on the Dark Atlas website or send an envelope to Rant Media Studios, Box 95089, 370 East Broadway, Vancouver, BC, Canada, V5T1WO. And I want to thank the Army of the Flying Monkeys for their assistance in gathering data. If you have information you would like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel@rantradio.com. And be sure not to sign up for the Rant newsletter by sending an email to info@rantradio.com. And now, what do you got as a background? We're going to run with Dream and Things Can Only Get Better. So I'm going to get you to throw that on the FTP. Because I had this other one here that I was all, it was another Symphony of Science, but it wasn't as good as that first one I played before anyway. So maybe I'll use that in a week or so. But definitely this Things Can Only Get Better. I totally want to do a, this is going to be really good. You know, I want to do some sort of an apocalyptic short film with that as the theme song, you know, because things can only get better. Because that's really, you know, our society is in such a state of chaos right now that maybe, you know, shit, maybe that's what it is. Maybe things can only get better. So, Simi, have you got anything else?
Nope, not from me this week.
Not from you this week? Well, okay then. I'm going to fade out with that Dream track. And remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we are at each other's throats. So until next time, that's what Server said. End of line.
You can walk my path. You can wear my shoes. Learn to talk like me. Be an angel too, but maybe you ain't never gonna feel this way. You ain't never gonna know me, but I know you. Singing in our veins can only get better, can only get better. See it through, that means me, and I mean you too. So teach me how to think. Can only get better. Can only get, take it all from me. You know, I know that things can only get better.
listener to